Good evening. This is Bush Tea on Guardian Radio 96.9. We are also streaming live on guardiantalkradio.com. I'm your host, Erica Wells. Exactly 2 weeks ago today, more than 155,000 Bahamians exercised their right to vote in a hotly contested general election. In this year's general election, registered women voters outnumbered their male counterparts by 20,000. Women were no doubt a deciding factor in the outcome. But it was not that long ago that Bahamian women were not allowed to take part in what is now widely considered a fundamental right of citizenship. It took activists and reformers many years of struggle to win the right to vote for women, and the campaign was not easy. It marked a milestone in our nation's history, a milestone for Bahamian women, and a significant accomplishment for our democracy. Today we are joined in the studio by Marion Bethel, well-known Bahamian writer and cultural worker, who has been actively involved in the women's movement in both the Bahamas and the Caribbean over the past 30 years. Marion, welcome to Bush Tea.
Thank you very much, Erica. Good evening.
Marion, many of our listeners know your writing, but today you are wearing a different hat, that of documentary producer. You're working on a documentary on the women's suffrage movement in the Bahamas. Tell us about that project.
Erica, this documentary had its origin from many, many years ago, and we're now in the final stages of putting the documentary together. I have always been interested in the women's narrative in our broader national narratives. And my finding as I read through the broader national narratives is that there's very little on the women's contribution to those national narratives. And so I thought this documentary, in this 50th anniversary of women going to vote for the first time in November 1962, would be a way to really honor the women's suffrage movement and just to deepen the awareness of our public about this movement, what it meant, its significance to the 50s and 60s, and its entire significance to the evolution of what I might call the modern-day Bahamas. And so I really began to think, when I thought of this project, it really was for me to write a book, because that is my tool of trade, so to speak. And then I thought, how many people are actually going to read a book on the women's suffrage movement? And as time went by, I realized of the utility of using the video documentary format, because that's sort of the new kind of media, one of the new media that we have right now that's very accessible to most people. And so I thought, I'll do the documentary. And at hand, there were two very, very up-and-coming young Bahamian film producers, Maria Govan and Kareem Mortimer, who have internationally acclaimed films. And I thought, why don't I link up with them? It would be cross-generational, for one, which has its own usefulness, and interdisciplinary in terms of my writing and their film production, and have this documentary ready for the celebration of the women's suffrage movement anniversary for November of this year. So it's coming on stream, it's working really well, lots of challenges, lots of new archival material has come up for me as I've been working on this project.
It's interesting because you talk about, you know, being used to writing and, you know, pursuing your interests and your passion through the written word. What has it been like? What has the process been like? What's it like to have to do the interviews, be conscious of, you know, how people are looking and the background?
So a lot of the technical parts of it in terms of the actual film production and how the interviews are actually managed and stage managed or done, that's I leave that up to Maria Govan to do that, and she certainly includes me in on the process of, as to how something may look and how we're going to set it up. So a lot of that I leave up to her. The actual interviews, I am the person who drafted the interview questions based on the history and the stories and the anecdotes that I know about the suffrage movement. And I have shaped the interviews myself, and I'm the interviewer. So that's been my job. I've also had the task of writing the script, the documentary script for the documentary. That was extremely challenging because writing a documentary script is very different from the kind of essay writing that I do or the kind of other narrative writing that I do. It's a very sparse approach to writing, and I ran into a lot of difficulty actually, and had to have Maria and Kareem help me with writing it as a documentary script.
Right.
Because it's not dense. It's a very sort of concise way of writing, which is very different from what I normally do. So that's been a challenge for me. But as I say, I've got these two film experts working with me, and so we've gotten to the point where we have a rough draft of what the documentary narrative looks like, and on which the interviews and the story can now hang.
Right.
So we're at that point where that's pretty much great. Settled.
Was it difficult to find your sources for the documentary?
The actual history of the suffrage movement, etc., or the interviews, the interviewees?
Both.
The actual history of the suffrage movement, there have been several people who've done pivotal work on the suffrage movement itself. Gail Saunders has written an article on it that's been very useful. Kim Outen Stubbs has also written a very, very good article on the suffrage movement. Ruth Bodarville has done primary research. So I've used those pieces of history. I've used Michael Creighton's work. I've used Colin Hughes' work. So I've also gone to the Colonial Office archives that we found online. One of my research assistants, Natalie Bethel, has gotten for me a treasure trove of historical document from the Colonial Office itself, which had really documented this movement. It was amazing to find the material on a day-to-day basis in terms of the suffrage movement, because there were people here in the Bahamas that the Colonial Office had actually monitoring the suffrage movement. So
interesting.
So it's all there. And some of that is not in the articles that, let's say, Gail Saunders would have written or Kim Outen Stubbs would have written. And so I've got some details as to what was happening on the ground during the suffrage movement. In terms of the interviews, when I began this project in 2001, none of the leading suffragists were alive at that time. There were women who worked with them who would have been alive, and so I interviewed them. What I did was I also interviewed the families of the leaders of the suffrage movement, the family members who would have been on the ground with their mothers as young people, teenagers, doing signing petitions, getting petitions signed, etc. I interviewed friends of the living friends, obviously, of the suffragists, and so the interviewees. It was easy to find interviewees who either knew these women and or were young women at the time. I also had the great advantage of having two of our parliamentarians who would have been cabinet ministers actually during the government in the 50s and 60s. I interviewed them. They are still living. I'm talking about persons like Godfrey Kelly,
right,
and Peter Graham.
Right.
And I had tried to interview Jeffrey Johnstone, also as one of the three surviving members of the United Bahamian Party. So finding interviewees was not that difficult. And I also wanted, Erica, to really make this documentary live from the point of view that it had a diverse interview basis. And so I really went far and wide throughout the Bahamian community to find interviewees. I tried the Chinese Bahamian community, the Greek Bahamian community, the white Bahamian community, and clearly the black Bahamian community too. And so I really wanted to hear from these different diverse voices, and it's worked to a certain extent, I think.
Right. It's such a, you know, a relatively recent part of our history. It's only been 50 years. You know, as a woman, what was it like to work on the project about such a significant part of our history that involved women? And like you said, you had primary resources.
Right. As a human being, Erica, this project has been really transformative to me in a very, very deep way. In all the aspects of my being as a woman, as a black woman in the Bahamas, as a woman who has benefited from higher education and a middle income family, and which locates me in a certain way in this community. So I bring all of that to the project as a human being and in all those different parts of my life, and it has been transformative in many ways for me. As a woman living in this country, it certainly has given me, reading all of this material and seeing how very sophisticated these women were in their strategies and their understanding of politics and their political savviness in terms of the alliances that they made and the choices that they made in terms of making this movement happen, it just has so much value for contemporary women. And so it's a continuity that's been so very important to me to see. I hold my head a little differently when I read this material. I lift it up more, and I just really feel a deep sense of gratitude and deep love for these women who really worked and struggled hard against huge odds. I mean, odds that we don't have today. And who did so much with far fewer resources, and I'm astounded by their level of energy, their level of commitment, their level of sophistication in how they made this movement happen, and the fruits that they realized from it, which was the right to vote for one. But these women, Erica, were women who had a sense of social and political thought. Okay, they knew about. They had ideas of democracy. I mean, mm-hmm. They knew about democracy from ancient Greece, for example. This is all documented in their in the text that they wrote.
Right. You know? So it's something that we can all learn from.
Oh, we can learn so much from this.
We're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back right after this.